Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddham dhammam sangham namassami. Kasi tas kasab zinas. Is that correct? Did I pronounce it? Yeah. And in English, you would say,
"What is that which knows?"
Which knows? Don't know. It's actually leads to the whole idea of skillful questions.
But it seems that most knowledge be. Idejas par prasmīgiem jautājumiem.
Because you can't, like, if you can't really get behind awareness, can you?
Jo mēs nespējam nokļūt aiz vai kaut kur vēl tālāk par apziņu vai apzināšanos.
You can't know awareness as an object.
Mēs nespējam uztvert apziņu kā objektu.
But objects point to the fact that there is awareness.
Bet objekti norāda uz faktu, ka pastāv apziņa.
If you say I am aware,
ja jūs sakāt es apzinos,
that's just a thought.
Tā ir tikai doma.
So I think the brilliance of the Buddha, he was very pragmatic and he said I teach suffering and the end of suffering.
Es domāju, ka Budas izcelība bija tajā faktorā, ka viņš bija ļoti pragmātisks, un viņš teica, ka es mācu par ciešanām un ciešanu izbēgšanu.
And one of the things that we can get caught into and we suffer from is creating questions and have no answers.
Un viena no lietām, kurām mēs varam ieciklēties un no kuras varam ciest, ir uzdot jautājumus, kuriem nav atbilžu.
And that gets us caught in the limitations of intellect and thought.
Un tas noved mūs pie intelekta un domas ierobežojuma.
So just because I have a question, is it really skillful to look for an answer?
Un tikai tāpēc, ka man ir jautājums, vai tas tiešām ir prasmīgi meklēt uz to atbildi.
Or is it better to have skillful questions?
Vai labāk ir, ja man ir prasmīgi jautājumi.
So how do you know if this is a skillful question or not?
Un kā mēs varam zināt, vai tas ir prasmīgs jautājums vai ne?
Well, one of the things you do is you go back to the Four Noble Truths and you keep contemplating, is there suffering? Is there discontent? Is there stress? Is there something not right about the moment?
Un viena no lietām, ko mēs varam darīt, ir atgriezties pie četrām savajām patiesībām un pārdomāt, vai pastāv ciešanas, vai pastāv neapmierinātība, vai ar lietām viss ir kārtībā.
And uncertainty is a very... intellectual uncertainty becomes a form of suffering when we are not willing to accept that we don't know, that there is no answer.
Un intelektuāla nenoteiktība kļūst par ciešanām tajā gadījumā, ja mēs nevēlamies pieņemt to, ka nav atbildes.
Some things, obviously, we have answers to. Where's the kitchen? Where's the toilet? Who took my fruit juice, that kind of thing.
Ir dažas lietas, uz kurām ir acīmredzams atbildes, kur ir virtuve, kur ir tolet, un kurš paņēma man augļu sulsglāzi.
And so that's just the kind of functional part of our life, but the the realization of, like the Buddha's realization of the deathless, comes about from actually giving up thought, doesn't it? Giving up trying to have an intellectual answer.
Un tas attiecas uz mūsu dzīves funkcionālo daļu, bet tas, ko Buda atklāja attiecībā uz to, kas nemirst, tas ir ārpus domas.
Now in Chan Buddhism or Zen Chan especially from China.
Un Zen Buddhismā, bet jo sevišķi Chan Buddhismā, proti tajā Zen Buddhismā, kas ir Ķīnā.
They developed a way of questioning to actually silence the mind, and the question they used was, who am I?
Viņi ir izveidojuši jautājumus kā sistēmu, ar kuru palīdzību apklusināt prātu. Un viens no šādiem jautājumiem ir, kas es esmu?
Sri Ramana Maharshi, the famous Advaita saint from who died in 1950 in India, he used who am I?
Un Sri Ramana Maharshi, kas ir viens no slavenākajiem Advaita Vedantas pārstāvjiem, viņš izmantoja šo jautājumu, kas es esmu.
Now but in Theravada, to ask the question who am I is a dumb question.
Bet Theravādas tradīcijā uzdot jautājumu, kas es esmu, ir muļķīgs jautājums.
And both are right. Like if I'm trying to find an objective definition of myself, functionally, yeah, I'm Vera Dhammo, who lives in Canada, and so on. But any answer have, I'm a man, I'm a monk, I'm Vera Dhammo, I'm 66, I'm fed up, I'm happy. They're all just definitions which come and go in awareness.
Un abas pieejas ir pareizes, jo es esmu sabiedrības ietvaros definēts kā Vera Dhammo, kas dzīvo Kanādā un tā tālāk, bet no garīgā viedokļa šie visi definējumi, ka būk man garšo tas, ka man kaut kas ir pieriebies un tam līdzīgi, tas viss mainās, iet un arī izzūd.
So the Buddha suggests from Theravada point is ask a skillful question. Skillful question is what is the cause of suffering and what is the end of suffering? That would be a skillful question.
Un no Theravādas budismu skatījumā tas, ko Buda ieteica, bija uzdot prasmīgus jautājumus, un prasmīgs jautājums šajā izpratnē būtu vai ir ciešanas un kā ciešanas izbēgt.
But the skillful use of the who am I koan, or the huato as they call in Chinese, the skillful use of that is if you don't look for an answer.
Bet Ķīnas Zen Budismā prasmīga pieeja, kā atrisināt šo jautājumu, kas es esmu, ir nemeklēt atbildes to.
Because if you put that question to yourself, who am I? All I get is silence.
Jo, ja es, piemēram, uzdodu šo jautājumu sev, kas es esmu, viss, ko es varu dabūt, ir klusums.
I could answer, I'm Vera Dhammo. I could say, who said that?
Un es varētu atbildēt, es esmu Vera Dhammo, bet tad kas to teica?
So that question can be used skillfully, because if you don't look for an answer, like, who's aware? It brings you to silence, pure awareness.
Un šādi jautājumi var izmantot prasmīgi, jo, ja mēs uzdodam jautājumu, piemēram, kas apzinās? Un tad prāts apkūst, un tas novada mūs pie tīras apzināšanās.
Well, it's hard to do, because as soon as you put a question, you want an answer.
Bet to nav viegli izdarīt, jo tiklīdz mēs uzdodam jautājumu, mēs gribam saņemt atbildi.
Not that I'm dismissing the question, I don't want to be, you know, dumb question. It's just that it's a very, the whole thing about the limits of intellect, the limits of thought, the skillful use of inquiry, it's a very important part of our spiritual life.
Nav tā, ka es censtos apiet vai noniecināt šo jautājumu, bet šis temats par prasmīgiem jautājumiem ir notaļ būtisks prakses ietvaros.
If we can go back to that analogy of the wheel, and analogies and metaphors, when you keep extending them, they can lose their you can overuse them. So I hope I'm not overusing that analogy and metaphor. But let's go back to that analogy of the wheel.
Un atkal atgriezīsimies pie šīs līdzības par ratu ar tā ārējo daļu un asi.
And metaphors sometimes I can overuse.
Un,
so that I'm apologizing.
Var gadīties tā, ka metaforas mēs lietojam pārāk bieži, un ja jums šķiet, ka tas tā ir, tad es par to atvainojos.
There you go. Thank you. Protect me. So, you think about if you think about the rim of the wheel being all the kind of dualities that we experience, pain and pleasure, inspiration, what's the opposite inspiration? Depression, maybe. Mm-hmm. Confidence, lack of confidence.
Ja mēs uz šo te riteņu ārējo daļu uzskatām par visām dualībām, kas pastāv divējādībā. Dualitāte. Restīvu patiku, nepatiku, iedvesmu, pacelātību, depresiju un tam līdzīgi.
Lists are hard, aren't they? Yeah. Those are always the conditions that we're experiencing. They're dualistic. You feel like you sit for 45 minutes. In the beginning, you think, oh, this is really nice. Nothing to do. Really nice. And after 20 minutes, I want to do something. You get restless. And then you start to feel pain. And then finally, the bell rings. Oh, great. Then you go outside, and you start to, it's really nice to walk. Really nice. 20 minutes. How much longer do I have to walk? The bell rings. Oh, great, I can sit again. Pleasure, pain, like, dislike. This is the conditioned world.
Tārtā. Nosacītā pasaule, kurā mēs dzīvojam, mēs varam apsēsties savā meditācijas pozā, savu spilvenā. Pirmās 20 minūtes mēs iesākam ļoti pacelāti, ļoti mundri noskaņoti, bet tad pēc šīm 20 minūtēm mēs sākam knosīties, sākam domāt, cik ilgi man vēl ir jāsēž. Cik kā tas beigsies, kad zvans noskanēs, tad noskan zvans. Urā, mēs varam doties pastaigāt, piecelties kājās. Un tad kā pirmās 20 minūtes, kad mēs staigājam, mēs priecājamies par to, ka esam svaigā gaisā, ka mums ir iespēja izkustēties. Bet pēc 20. Minūtes mūsos iezogas doma, cik tad ilgi var staigāt, kad es varēšu beidzot piesēst. Un kad būs zvans, un tā visu laiku mēs riņķojam šajā nosacītajā mainībā.
So that's the condition realm. So if you go back to questions and the condition realm, functionally you have to question. I have to, have to use question and answer just to function in the world. But in the spiritual life, the doubt and certainty are really of one piece. It's just part of having a brain, of being able to think. Sometimes there's certainty, sometimes there's doubt. And if you cannot accept the sense of not knowing, having no answer, as just a condition, you're always driven to thinking and doubting because you look for certainty.
Un šajā nosacījuma sfērā, tas, ka mēs uzdodam jautājumus, ir dabiska daļa, tas ir nepieciešams, lai mēs varētu funkcionēt. Bet garīgajā sfērā, ja mēs nespējam pieņemt šo faktu vai apstākli, ka uz jautājumu var nebūt atbilde vai nespējam pieņemt šaubu esamību, tad mēs būsim spiesti griezties pie šī domājošā, meklējošā, neapmierinātā prāta.
So in like in Korean Buddhism, there's a famous Korean Zen teacher. What's his name? Suzaki. Any one of them. And he just teaches don't know mind. Don't know mind.
Korejas budismā ir viens no skolotājiem, kas īpaši iedrošina šo prātu, kuru var nosaukt es nezinu prātu.
So because much of life is uncertain, you don't know the future, what's going to happen next week, and to be able to function, make plans, but also be able to accept, well, I don't know. The future is uncertain. It's actually a very freeing kind of space to be with.
Un daudz lietas mēs tiešām nezinām. Mēs nezinām, kas notiks pēc nākošās nedēļas un tam līdzīgi. Un tas īstenībā ļoti atbrīvojoši, ja mēs varam pieņemt to, ka mēs nezinām.
So back to the analogy of the metaphor. So as I was saying, I think earlier today, the rim of the wheel, the teaching around that is the teaching of anicca dukkha anatta, impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, not self. It's teaching that the conditions of our sense experience are impermanent, unsatisfactory, not me, not mine.
You'll have to know it more slowly.
Little by little, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry. So go back to the analogy of the wheel.
Tad atgriežoties pie šīs līdzības par riteni un tā ārējo daļu.
The teachings that are describing the rim talk about the conditioned nature of sense experience, and that sense experience has the characteristic of being impermanent, unsatisfactory, and not me, not mine.
Tās mācības, kas attiecas uz šo riteņu ārējo daļu, apraksta nepastāvību, impermanence,
unsatisfactoriness,
neapmierinātību,
and not me, not mine,
un
anatta.
Nav es un nav mans.
Yeah. So that's what we call the three characteristics of sense experience.
Un tas ir tas, ko mēs saucam par maņu pieredzes raksturu vilmiem, jeb raksturu īpašībām.
So within that you have emotions, which are pleasant and unpleasant.
Tā ietvaros ir emocijas, kas ir patīkamas un nepatīkamas.
Physical feelings, which are pleasant and unpleasant.
Fiziskas sajūtas, kas ir patīkamas, nepatīkamas.
Sounds and sights and tastes, which are pleasant and unpleasant.
Skaņas, skati, garšas, kas arī ir patīkami, nepatīkami.
Memories, thoughts, mental patterns, which are pleasant and unpleasant.
Atmiņas, domas, prāti, ieradumi, kas ir patīkami vai nepatīkami.
And they arise dependent on other factors. All kinds of factors come and these things arise and they cease, they arise and they cease.
Un viss tas parādās un pazūd.
And that's the description of our sense experience.
Un tā tiek aprakstīta mūsu maņu pieredze.
Then the axle or the axis is described in the language of Nibbana or Nirvana in Sanskrit.
Savukārt šo riteņa asa daļu apraksta Nibbana vai Nirvana sanskritā.
Just so you know, you have two scriptural languages, Pali, Sanskrit, and in Sanskrit you have Nirvana, which you see more, and Nibbana in Pali.
Un tie ir informatīvai zināšanai, ir divas rakstu valodas, Pali un Sanskrits, un attiecīgi Sanskritā ir Nirvana, un tas ir droši vien biežāk dzirdēts un redzēts vārds, savukārt Pali variants šim pašam vārdam ir Nibbana.
Now Nirvana has become a corrupted word because of a certain rock group and a singer who committed suicide.
Nirvana varbūt ir nedaudz apvazāts vārds pateicoties rock grupai, kuras savu līderis izdarīja pašnāvību.
What was his name? Cobain?
Kurt Cobain.
Kurt Cobain, something like that. It's after my time. Also, I think it's a perfume.
Tāpat šiet par nirvānu tiek saukts arī smaržas.
So nirvana sounds like a place, you know, it sounds like Bali.
Nirvana izklausās pēc kaut kādas vietas, kā teiksim Bali sala.
So I'm practicing, I'm going to nirvana. Buy an air ticket.
Un tad var gadīties, ka es praktizēju tādā vietā, ka es gribu nokļūt nirvānā un tei vai tur nokļūšu biļeti.
Or it sounds like heaven, I suppose, right?
Vai arī nirvāna var izklausīties kā debesis, paradīze.
And that's what popular culture will do to a very good word. They'll ruin it.
Un tas ir tas, ko popkultūra izdara ar labu dziļu vārdu. Itin viegli to var sagraut.
So we have other words in the text which talk about that, and I alluded that to those earlier.
Un ir arī citi vārdi rakstos, kas aprakstā šo te pašu.
And these words are very difficult because you can't, they're kind of, as we say in English, they blow your mind away.
Un tie nav tik vienkārši vārdi, ko saprast vai iztolkot, jo viņu funkcija žargonā runājot būtu noraut jumtu.
Noraut jumtu. Well done. Okay, so unconditioned.
Tātad nenosacīts.
Right? So what's conditioned? Our emotions are conditioned, the body's conditioned, sense experiences conditioned, memories conditioned. So there's that condition, unconditioned.
Un tad, kas ir nosacīts, nosacīts ir mūsu ķermenis, sajūtas, domas, vispārējais, maņas, jā.
And so the teaching is, if there was not the unconditioned, there would be no escape from the conditioned.
Un mācījumi saka, ja nebūtu šī tā, kas nav nosacīts, tad nebūtu nekāda glābiņa no šī nosacītā.
There is the uncreated.
Ir neradītais.
And the emotions and all the rest of our sense experience, they're created. They're born, they die, they're born, they die, they come, they go. If there was not the uncreated, there would be no escape from the created. There would be no escape from birth and death.
Viss mūsu emocijas un maņu pieredze, tas viss ir radies un radīts, nosacīts. Un ja nebūtu šī nenosacītā, tad mums nebūtu glābiņa no tā.
Other words which you find, the island.
Vēl citi vārdi, piemēram, sala.
The refuge.
Patvērums.
Harbor.
Osta.
So there's different ways that the Buddha alluded to this, and this insight and this understanding that he gained from his enlightenment.
Ir dažādi veidi, kā Buddha mēģināja aprakstīt vai norādīt uz to, ko viņš sasniedza apgaismībā.
So some of the teaching is pointing to the the foolishness of looking for the uncreated in the created.
Viena mācība daļa norāda uz to, cik muļķīgi ir meklēt neradīto radītajā.
And then some of the teaching is indicating what we need to do to create a foundation for that realization that the Buddha had.
Un cita mācība daļa norāda uz to, kas mums ir jādara, lai radītu pamatu tam, ko sasniedz Buddha.
Now these foundational practices, they're still conditioned, they're still conditions.
Un šīs pamatīlikšanas prakses joprojām ir balstās uz nosacījumiem.
But they lay a foundation which allows us to abide in stillness for long, long periods of time.
Bet tās ieliek tādu pamatu, kas ļauj mums pamatīt pilnīgā un dziļā mierā ļoti ilgu laiku.
So, morality.
Piemēram, tikumība.
It's a conditioned response to our social life, but it creates a foundation and a stability in consciousness.
Tā ir uz nosacījumiem balstīta reakcija uz sociālo dzīvi, bet tas ieliek pamatu mūsu garīgajai attīstībai.
Generosity is a condition, but when it is cultivated, it's a condition which appeases the heart, as opposed to, say, greed. Greed doesn't appease the heart. Greed gets more greed. So dana or generosity is something that cools the heart and makes the heart happy. So it's a foundation for enlightenment.
Un tāpat dana, jeb devība, dāsnums ir tas, kas palīdz, tā teikt, atvēsināt sirdi no alkatības, no nepārtrauktas pārņemtības ar gribēšanu vēl un vairāk. Un tas tikai, jā, palīdz arī atvērt sirdi. Un arī tas ir kaut kas, ko mēs nosacījuma veidā attīstam, bet tas ieliek pamatu.
Patience is a quality, because our sense experience can be quite painful, quite difficult, quite confusing. Patience is a virtue which prevents us from just being reactive all the time. It keeps us home, it keeps us in our center. So patience is a virtue which creates a foundation for enlightenment.
Pacietība ir tikums, kas ieliek pamatu apskaidrībai, jo, ja mums nav pacietības, mēs visu laiku cenšamies reaģēt un izmainīt tos apstākļus, kuros mēs atrodamies.
Determination. To do this work, you have to be very determined. If you meditate once every month, forget it. It's better than not doing it. But like if you weave once a month, will you ever be a good weaver? If you do pottery once a month, will you ever be a good potter? No, you have to be quite determined in this work.
Mums ir jābūt ļoti apņēmīgiem, ja mēs ceram kaut ko sasniegt. Ja mēs meditēsim tikai reizi mēnesī, tad varam aizmirst par jau kādiem sasniegumiem. Nu, piemēram, ja mēs audīsim tikai reizi mēnesī, vai mēs kādreiz kļūsim par labu audēju, vai ja mēs uztaisīsim, darbosimies ap, teiksim, māla podu reizi mēnesī, vai mēs kļūsim kādreiz par labu podnieku. Un tāpēc mums ir nepieciešama apņēmība. Protams, meditēt kaut vai reizi mēnesī ir labāk nekā nemeditēt nemaz, bet tomēr.
You remembered all that. What else? Truthfulness. Like, if you're not honest to yourself, let's say a sense of honesty about your own intentions is a foundation for enlightenment.
Patiesums vai atklātība pašam pret sevi arī ieliek pamatu apskaidrībai.
Let's say I try to manipulate you to get something out of you, and I'm dishonest with myself about that, then I can never be free, because that dishonesty prevents me from seeing my intentions, prevents me from seeing cause and effect, and I'll never understand myself. So honesty.
Piemēram, ja es cenšos ar jums manipulēt, lai kaut ko iegūtu priekš sevis, bet pats neatzīstu sev, ka es to daru, tad es nekad nespēšu arī saskatīt cēloņus un sekas, kas liekas man pavirzīties tuvāk apskaidrībai.
Goodwill, metta. The sense of empathy in the heart is the foundation for enlightenment, because empathy is really goes against selfishness, doesn't it? When I connect to you with a heartfelt empathy, I'm no longer consumed with ego and so on. So that sense of empathy or metta or goodwill is the foundation for enlightenment.
Metta, jeb labvēlība, arī ieliek pamatu apskaidrībai, jo tā palīdz man izjust empātiju pret to, ko jūt citi.
One interesting one, which we call nekama in Pali, is renunciation. And the Buddha said renunciation was a foundation for enlightenment.
Un viena interesanta lieta ir tas, ko Pali valodā sauc par nekama, un to varētu iztulkot kā atteikšanos vai atsacīšanos. Un Buddha teica, ka arī tas ir pamats, kas ieliek. Tas ir pamats, kas nepieciešams apskaidrībai.
Now, the obvious form of renunciation is like a monk or a nun who shave their head and live a celibate life and practice according to the Vinaya of the Lord Buddha.
Un ļoti uzskatāma atsacīšanās forma ir mūka vai mūķens, kas ir noskūvuši savu galvu un praktizē ar saskaņā ar Vinājas noteikumiem.
But that can just be a kind of cultural ritual. What renunciation is really pointing to is that you realize that on the rim of the wheel, you won't find enlightenment. That's where true renunciation comes.
Bet tikpat labi tā var būt arī tikai kulturāla forma, jo īsta atsacīšanās ir tā, kad jūs saprotat, ka šajā ārējā riteņa daļā jūs nevarat atrast paliekošu apmierinājumu.
Effort, you know, if you think about it, this time together, we're putting a lot of effort forth. How much time do we sit and your bodies are not used to it? We're putting tremendous effort into the practice and right effort lots of it is a foundation for enlightenment.
Arī piepūle ir svarīga, un jo sevišķi mēs šeit kopā praktizējot visnotaļ daudz pulāmies, tā kā neesam pierinuši sēdēt tik daudz tādās pozās, un arī pareizi piepūle ieliek pamatu apskaidrībai.
So it's interesting, if we're doing a sitting, and I say to you desirelessness, you know, that's a kind of, it's almost like a paradox, desirelessness. I'll just sleep. But that's not it, is it? So it's interesting how you use a subtle word like desirelessness, but you're still putting effort forth, aren't you?
Savā ziņā, ja es meditācijas laikā jums saku brīvību no vēlmēm, tas sanāk paradox, jo mēs taču veicam kaut kādu piepūli, jo ja mēs mēs taču varētu tajā pašā laikā arī mierīgi gulēt.
So there's that's a kind of nice package, I think. You begin to understand that all your emotional and sensory equipment and your experiences in that realm is very contingent on all kinds of other things. And you begin to see, well, it's not there. Where is it? It's right here in awareness.
Un viss iepriekš minētājs izveido tādu ļoti labu komplektu, kas ļauj mums saprast un pamanīt, vai tur kaut kas ir, vai tas, ko mēs meklējam, tur nav, tas ir šeit mūsu apziņā.
And it's not a rejection of our emotional life or it's not a rejection of beauty or friendship or companionship or it's not a rejection of that. It's just, again, it's knowing the limits. So I like milk in my coffee, but I'm not going to suffer if I don't get it, right? Because I know coffee's not nibbana, and milk coffee is not nibbana either. So you have your milk coffee, or you don't have your milk coffee, not a problem. So it's not a teaching which is, you know, really, really severe. It's a teaching which is wise.
Un tas nenozīmē, ka mēs noliedzam dzīvi vai noliedzam emociju nozīmi vai jebko citu. Kā piemēru, teiksim, man garšo kafiju ar pienu, bet ja es nedabūju kafiju ar pienu vai es ciešu, nē, es saprotu, ka nibbāna nav nedz kafijā bez piena, nedz kafijā ar pienu.
So, like in I don't know about in Latvia, but Buddhists can be Like they can use Buddhist jargon in silly ways. So like if you're really happy, right? Everything's going well. Then what does the kind of sour Buddhist say to you? It'll change.
Es nezinu, vai mēs esam nonākuši tik tālu jau arī Latvijā, bet citās zemēs, kur modismu servis noteikti izplatīts, ir tā, ka, teiksim, modistu praktizētāju vidū, kad kad cilvēkam ir labs noskaņojums, tad budists ar skābo ģīmi visnotaļ priecīgi teiks, tas mainīsies.
Do you know the word pest? In what a pest is? A pest? P-E-S-T?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ajahn Sumedho was walking in London and someone came up to him, Buddha pest. Anyway, I think they got it. So,
nu vārdu spēle par Budapeštu un vārdu salikumu Buda un pest, kas angliski ir kaitēklis.
Budapest. So you wanted, like one of the things I say to people, you know, this is at least a one lifetime job. At least one lifetime. So it's not like you're going to do it on a weekend.
Tas, ko es cilvēkiem saku, ka šis ir vismaz, šis ir projekts vismaz vienas dzīves garumā, tā kā jums neizdosiet, ko jūs to paveikt vienas nedēļas nogals laikā.
And if you have that kind of long-range sense of this work, you say, okay, my mind is very cynical, or it has a lot of fear, but I'm just going to keep working on it and understand it, and I'm going to keep working towards liberation. And if you have like a sense of, you know, doing it for a long, long time, then you don't get too uptight about it. But if you think you have to fix yourself right away, you really feel disappointed because it's difficult.
Un ja mums ir šī skaidrība vai pārliecība, ka tas ir ilgtermiņa mērķis, ko mēs nedabūsim rokā tūlīt un tagad, tad tas padara mūs daudz brīvāks mūsu attieksmē. Mēs uzreiz nekļūstam sarūktināt vai sadusmot, ja mums tas neizdodas tik ātri, kā mēs to gribētu.
And just to finish, I'd like to give you another formulation of the Four Noble Truths, rather different.
Un nobeidzot, es vēlētos jums sniegt nedaudz citādāko četru cēlo patiesību formulējumu.
Ajahn Sumedho has this in the Thai language carved on a piece of teak wood in his kuti in Thailand.
Un Ajahn Sumedho tas ir taizamē viņa kutī izgrebts tīkokā.
And so the formulation from the text, from the canon, is there is dukkha, there is suffering, there is the cause of dukkha, there is the cessation of dukkha, and there's the path which lead to the cessation of dukkha.
Un tad formulējums rakstos ir tāds, ka ir dukkha, jeb ciešanas, ir ciešana cēloņi, ir ciešana izbeigšana, un ir ceļš uz ciešanu izbeigšanu.
The cause of suffering is attachment to desire.
Un ciešana cēlonis ir pieķeršanās pie alkām.
The cessation of suffering is a letting go of desire.
Un ciešana izbeigšana ir atbrīvošanās
alkām. And the path is the Noble Eightfold Path.
Un ceļš ir cēlais astoņposmu ceļš.
So that's a really good formulation to memorize. It's good to memorize that. Get it in your head intellectually so that it becomes a reflection as you live your life. The way memory works, if you memorize stuff and you keep working on memorizing it, then it just pops out. So it becomes a very helpful aid in your contemplation.
Un tas ir ļoti labs veids, kā tu ielikt sev atmiņā. Un ja mēs trenējam savu atmiņu ar vienu iegalmējot šīs lietas, tad atmiņa palīdz mums īstajā brīdī to izvilkt priekšā, kad tas ir nepieciešams mūsu praksē.
But every now and then you get a different formulation which kind of makes you think and stop and think. And this formulation comes from a Thai teacher contemporary to Ajahn Chah, who I think he died in the 1970s, and yeah, so it's a different formulation.
Oh, and reiz pareizē parādās arī cita formulējuma, kas liet pārnomāt citādākā gaismā, un šis formulējums konkrētais nāk no kāda Ajahn Chah laika biedra, kas nomira apmēram 1970. Gados.
So, first, the mind sent outside is the origination of suffering.
Pirmais, tad prāts, kas ir izsūtīts ārpusē, ir ciešanu radītājs.
So he puts two in one, right? If you know the Four Noble Truths. So the usual formulation, there's suffering, its cause. Now he's putting the cause first. So the mind sent outside is the origination of suffering.
Tad te faktiski tiek apmainīts klasiski otrais vietām ar pirmo. Un tad prāts, kas ir aizsūtīts ārpusē, ir tas, kas rada ciešanas.
And then the result of the mind sent outside is suffering.
Un rezultāts prātam, kas ir izsūtīts ārpusē, ir ciešanas.
Then the mind seeing the mind is the path.
Un tālāk prāts, kas redz prātu, ir ceļš.
And then the result of the mind seeing the mind is the cessation of suffering.
Un tālāk rezultāts tam, ka prāts redz prātu, ir ciešanas izbeigšanās.
So let's say I hear the alarm clock and I go out and I think, who's the idiot that left their alarm clock on?
Teiksim, es dzirdu skanam modinātāja zvanu un mans prāts dodās tur ārā ar domu, kas ir tas idiots, kas uzlika modinātāja zvanu šajā laikā.
I'm trying to meditate. These people, they're not mindful. Gosh, I teach all the time. And where's the gratitude?
Es cenšos meditēt, es mācu. Cilvēki laikam neklausās, ko es saku, kur ir pateicība, ko es esmu pelnījis, un tā tālāk.
The mind sent outside is the origination of suffering. The result of the mind sent outside is suffering.
Tad prāts, kas ir izsūtīts ārā, rada ciešanas, un prātam tiekot izsūtītam ārā, tas ir ciešanas ālons.
And then I wake up and say, oh, this is a feeling of aversion. Aversion feels this way.
Bet tad es atmostos priekš sevis un pamanu, ka tā ir nepatika, un nepatikas izjūta ir šāda.
And I stay with that knowing, and the aversion falls away.
Un es palieku ar šīs izjūtas zināšanu un nepatika izzūd.
The mind seeing the mind is the path. Oh, this is aversion.
Prāts, kas redz prāti, ir ceļš. Šī ir nepatika.
And the result of the mind seeing the mind is the cessation of suffering.
Un rezultāts prātam, kas redz prāti, ir ciešanas izbeigšana.
And that fits the analogy of the wheel.
Un tas atkal saskan ar ratu līdzību.
So I hope that's helpful and no funny story tonight. Can't think of one.
Es ceru, ka tas bija noderīgi un diemžēl šokar nav jautro stāstu. Nedomāties.
I can wish you sweet dreams.
Es varu novēlēt jums jaukus sapnus.
Let's You want to try? We have a ritual which I don't know, perhaps you've tried it. When a monk or a nun finish a Dhamma talk,
mums ir rituāls, es nezinu, vai jūs to esat iepriekš jau redzējuši vai ne, kas tiek veikts, kad tiek pabeigta Dhammas runa.
The next one of the members of the Sangha recite a line, handamayang tamakata sātu karankatamase.
Viens no mūkiem noskaita
to
rindiņu pāli valodā.
And it's basically kind of recognizing the goodness of the occasion of giving a Dhamma talk, and then the congregation respond.
Un tas faktiski tas saturs ir novērtēšana vai slavēšana tam, ka tiek sniegta Dhammas mācība.
And the congregation, which is you, then responds sātu, 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 anumodāmi. Sātu, 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 anumodāmi.
Uz ko klausītāja kopiem, kas šajā gadījumā esat jūs, atbild ar sādu, sādu, sādu.
Anumodāmi.
Anumodāmi.
Now you can't be shy, because then I'll be embarrassed.
Bet jūs nedrīkstat kautrēties, jo citādāk es būšu apkaunots.
Now this word, sādu, sādu, do you know what a high five is? You know high five?
Mm-hmm.
The Buddhist equivalent is sādu, sādu, sādu. It is, if you think about it. It's like, yeah. So the venerable, you haven't heard that. The venerable Ñanadasana will do the handamayang, and then when he finishes, you can, if you want to, do sādu, 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 anumodāmi.
Andamayam dhammakata sadhukaram dadamase.
Sadhu, 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 anumodami.
Right. Okay, let's finish with the chanting. On this question about, there's a question about how Venerable and I started to, in as monks, we'll answer that tomorrow.
Un noslēgsim ar dziedājumu, bet šo otru jautājumu, kas bija par to, kā mēs apļuvām par mūkiem, to atbildēsim arī.
Arahaṁ sammā sambuddho bhagavā Bhūtāṁ bhagavantāṁ abhivādemi Svākato bhagavata dhammo dhammam namassāmi Supatipannova bhagavato savaka sangho Sangam namami.
Who's the alarm clock?
Atzīstās.
Ha, ha, ha.